Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today. Yeah, yeah. Tube, what up?
They want to tap in on, is it what?
Okay, it serves me. Just in case you needed a reminder, the recording is in progress.
Lego.
Tube, what up? Happy Wednesday. Happy August 25th, 2021. Blessings and salutations to all the earners. Shout out to my brother. Shotty, what up?
Good.
They said I've been missing in action, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah. They was concerned.
Yeah, I know, man. They don't really understand how this thing really worked, though. They ain't no breaking up. They ain't no dividing us. We brothers. And so when one brother needs a little assistance, he needs somebody to step up, that's what we do for each other, man. So I just want to take time to acknowledge everybody for their thoughts and their prayers. I was dealing with a health issue, but I'm climbing back. So thank you for all your prayers. Everybody's good. My family is good. My brothers are good. And the team has held the fort down. So I just want to, first and foremost, start with that. I appreciate it greatly, but it's good to be home, man. I missed y'all. So I said, Shotty, bro, I'm ready, man. Let's get back to this thing that ours. And we got a very special one tonight with my brother. You love it when I call him C to the EO. My brother Matty J is here. Always good seeing my brother, man. Shout out to you.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Appreciate y'all. Yeah, so this is in-person experience. I was in Atlanta, and I'm like, I just realized, like, oh, shit, Matty, you want to just do this in person? So
we're here.
EYL House, Atlanta, South Edition, and, this episode was so legendary as far as everybody's always asking questions, like follow-up questions to the episode.
Yep.
So being that the episode was still fresh and people still had questions, it's like, what better way to have a follow-up and then answer some questions and just provide value. So that's what we're going to do. So first and foremost, this might be the first one that we've done in person, right, Troy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Now thinking about it. Yeah.
Last, I do appreciate. We'll be able to start to kick it off.
I know we did a open enrollment, but there was a storm and we weren't together, but there's never been a time when the person was actually in the same space. So what a time.
What a time. So Troy, you want me to set this off, or you want to?
So I mean, I gave him the host privileges.
Before we even do that, I want some announcements. So
Go ahead.
Yeah, so InvestFest is fastly approaching. It is this weekend in Atlanta, Georgia, which is why I'm down here right now. So if you're not familiar, we are going to have the biggest financial literacy business festival ever created, and it's going to be a vibe Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So added to the InvestFest lineup, none other than Matty J.
Yeah, I got the call, man. Yeah. I said, let's do it.
So we're going to do a panel on Turo and Airbnb. We're going to have Maddie, we're going to have Alexia, we're going to have Zoe, and we're going to have Pushman Mitch.
So much sauce.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Hey, yo, that's a whole lot of sauce.
Yeah.
We can't just like breeze over them names. Like, Maddie is a legend. Alexia, y'all already know, a year ago we introduced the world to the Airbnb game through her. She's a legend. Mitch is gonna go crazy. And Zoe, man, shout out to Zoe, man.
He's
a silent killer, but he's holding it down in the A. Everybody watching him ride around these lambs, they like, what's going on? So we're gonna get into some things this weekend, y'all.
Yeah. So that's something that we're extremely excited about. So if you're interested, go to investfest.com. It's about 12 hours left to snatch some tickets.
How'd y'all get that name?
I thought about it, bro.
Yeah. It's crazy. We had a bucket of names, and Shotty won the bucket this time.
So make sure you check that out. Investfest.com. And then also, before we start, so if anybody's not familiar, what this is what we call open enrollment. So EYL University, the biggest educational platform out there, man, we have over 10,000 students. And what we do is we bring professors in every single week to teach a class. And the class is on Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and it goes everything from real estate to crypto to, the banking industry, you name it. anything that you find on Earn Your Leisure, it's a more in-depth version of that, where you get to actually ask questions. You know, it's an interaction. They give like lessons with like presentations. It's a whole school type of vibe. And then the last Wednesday of every single month, we open it up for the public to see. So this is why we call it open enrollment. We put it on YouTube. And this is like a peek inside the house of EYL University.
Yeah.
So with EYL University, not only do you get that, but you get all of the back archive classes, which is over 100. You get monthly financial planning calls with me. Everybody always asks to get on my calendar for financial planning, but this is only really the only platform that I actually speak about my financial planning side and just answer questions for 2 hours straight. MG The Mortgage Guy does biweekly real estate calls. Troy heads up our movie and book club. We have a Facebook group with over 8,000 members in the Facebook group. And we have 20 Infinity groups. Shout out to all of the Infinity groups. I don't even want to say all of them because I don't want to forget any. Mm. But of course, the crypto club, the stock club, the real estate club, earners over 50, the military club, there's so many different clubs. So yes, if you're interested, go to eyluniversity.com, sign up, I'll pin the link. But yeah, right now we're gonna get into it. I'm sure a lot of people have watched that Toro episode and their wheels are spinning because they're like, I need some money. No, maybe this is a good, you know what I'm saying? A good side hustle for me to actually start earning some money. So
yes, sir.
We brought Matty J back and he has a special hat with a bandana.
Ocho Cinco! Ocho Cinco!
Yes, sir. Papi, yes, sir.
So, you know, you already know what it's about, man. So, Matty, how you want? You want to just go into the presentation?
Yeah, we can go into the presentation. All right,
let's get into
for sure,
it.
For sure.
Yeah, it's all on right. You, my guy.
I want to give all thanks and praise to God Elohim for allowing us to tap in. I know a lot of us, we get into the podcast and YouTube channels to learn. But when you drop the L, you can earn. So let's go ahead and get straight into it. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with everybody so everybody can see and follow. Because, again, I can show you better than I can tell you. We can make sure everybody can see it, though. There we go. So we're just going to start from the top. A lot of the questions that a lot of individuals have, especially in the car rental space, what I realized before we get into it, understand the mindset that a lot of times we ask the right questions, but we end up asking the right questions in the wrong order. So the purpose of having somebody who has experience is to help us learn the process in the right order so we can be able to execute and activate our knowledge with efficiency and effectiveness. So how to get started. So we're gonna go into these slides one by one. Hopefully everybody can see and follow me. And if possible, we'll make sure this presentation is available for anybody who requests it later on. All right, so slide number one. All right, of course, obviously, if you don't know who I am, I'm a business coach, personal development coach, and I've been able to tap into the car industry since 2017. Accolades, I started from one car to 55 cars. I went from having a $900 car note to be able to generating $2.9 million gross in the car rental industry, and I could drive any car I want for free. But the question is, how can you do it too? Tapping into the car rental space, the car sharing economy space. So here's the first thing before we get into the nitty gritty. The first thing that a lot of people pass that I realize or don't think to think about is the intentions. Anybody who wants to get in the car rental space, we have to know why. Why are we here? What's our purpose? A lot of people understand and get seduced by the income flow, the income opportunities, but there's more to it. The question is, what is more to it? What other opportunities exist? Here they are, one by one. A couple opportunities in the car rental space is to obviously earn cash flow to do what? Pay our bills and family necessities. But is that all? No. We can be in this car rental space to earn cash flow to fund other businesses. This can be a side play, side hustle play. You use the income, the $300, $400, $3,000 to then fund what your actual passion is. Because if you don't have a passion for cars or hospitality space, but you want to still utilize this industry and turn these liabilities on wheels to assets making deals, this is a good business model to be able to tap into. It's kind of like the real estate. Another reason why people get in this business and industry, car rental space, is to help other people earn income for their business. This business allows you also to partner up with other individuals so you can be able to hire them, give them an opportunity to generate income too, right? When we start businesses, we want other honorable reasons to be in the business other than I want to make some money, right? We want to be able to facilitate, learn, grow, and help other people and create impact and the income. Here's the other pieces. In our community, in car rental space, people even shared this reason, one of my favorites, to the opportunity to bond with their family. Somebody got in the car rental space, the Turo space, so they can have an opportunity to bond with their son, bond with their sister. Because this is a business that you can be able to do, low barrier of entry, that you can do at home, and your family members can be a part of the process, cleaning the car, doing the check-ins and check-outs, doing accounting, things of that nature. You don't have to be a super business mogul. Now, this is a low barrier of entry. Another reason why somebody will get into the space is to experience a different line of work. Sometimes the businesses that we're in as entrepreneurs, we get tired of it. But this is now a new business, a fresh business to be able to get new skills, hard skills, soft skills, and move forward. Another reason why somebody would get into this business, this is interesting, to transition out of illegal activity. So many people who are trapping out of these streets say, yo, I got all this bread, but I want to be able to tap into something obviously more legal so I don't have to be ducking and diving, worrying about who's going to hurt me, worrying about the feds, worry about anything. Right? This is a dope business to be able to transition to because, again, it's a low barrier entry. If you know how to get a vehicle, if you know how to get access to the car, and you follow Earn Your Leisure podcast, you get around the right people, you can understand the process on how to activate these different businesses, specifically the car rental space. Another reason why somebody will get in this space, obviously, is to have ownership in a business, right? If you have ownership in a business, what can we then do? We can then pass it down to our family. We can't just pass down a car because obviously that car is going to have an expiration date on its accessibility. What we are passing down is the knowledge of how we're running this business, the knowledge of turning these liabilities into assets, the knowledge of how to be able to make income on the side. Very important reason why somebody might introduce themselves to this business and actually activate it. All right. So those are all some of the intentions. There's a long list. Transitioning from, of course, we talk about from out of legal activity, create more time to do non-business activity. I'm going to talk about that a little bit because a lot of people, when they hear Turo or car rentals, they think it's just passive income. Any business starts off with getting active first. So if we want to get passive, we have to first get active. And it's in the car rental space is not limited to that. It's not an exception to that. So, of course, with the right systems in place, the right people, the right knowledge, the right resources, we can turn this active business into a passive business, again, with the right systems and people. Next, it increases your independence. And this is one of my favorites as well. When you get into the car rental space, especially Turo, you get to be a part of a trendy business, right? Everybody's going to be talking about car rentals, just like they talk about real estate. You want to be a part of that conversation in some way, some shape, some form, right? So you can be able to add value to the conversation, whether it's the knowledge, whether it's the experience, no matter what it is, you want to be able to be a part of that conversation. And what happens is when you're part of that conversation, you can give value, but what happens when you give value, you can receive it as well. So these are different reasons why somebody should or could get in this car rental industry. It's not just, I just want to make some bread. I just want to make some money. I just want to earn. We also want to learn. We also want to be able to create the impact that allows us to do what? Take our brands, our businesses to the next level. And other reasons, of course, one of my favorites as well, you get to drive your vehicles for free. Think about it. Imagine your dream car. We're taught that you need to make millions in other businesses to be able to afford these cars. We're taught that we have to work hard and these other opportunities to be able to afford these cars. Now we can be able to get access to these cars for free by renting it out to somebody else. Friends, family, athletes, associates, and the Turo platform, for example, is a platform that allows us to be connected with other individuals who are looking for a timeout with your vehicle, i.e. a Lambo Urus. My car note on the Lambo, $3,500 a month. I rent it out 3 days of the month for $1,400 to $1,700 a month. I don't pay for it, the business does. So those are different reasons why somebody would want to tap in. We're gonna go on to the next slide. Learning the process of a new business, an opportunity to network and meet influential people. I've been able to be connected with all types of celebrities. Drake, 21 Savage, Wale, Brian Michael Cox, all these different celebrities who didn't know who I was because I was renting out vehicles, right? So this is a tool, an asset that we can leverage to do what? Build relationships. But what happens when we build relationships? We can win championships and take our those championships and create all these different opportunities in business and personal development. All right. Again, network, build character is a key piece. I'm going to tell you firsthand, in the car rental space, I was able to learn personal development on a whole nother level. If you lack patience, we should get into businesses that help what? Mature our patience. We should get in businesses that help us with accountability, negotiations. Some of these skills, soft skills and hard skills, can actually be learned and taught through the businesses that we are partaking in. But if we don't have the consciousness of saying, yo, this is the reason why I'm going to business, we might miss out on that blessing. Trust me when I say, I've developed hard and soft skills on a whole nother level, patience, stress tolerance. I can make a whole list of things that I've learned while being in this business. So now that you know that there's multiple intentions or reasons why you should be in this business, now we can be a little bit more what? Intentional. Now we can be more purposeful on how we move and operate moving forward. Because if we don't know why we're here, what do we end up doing? We end up wandering this earth, wanders aimlessly like a zombie with no purpose, no direction. We need the mission. And with the mission, we can then create goals that allow us to get there. All right. So that's that aspect. So let's go and move on to the other pieces of the of this business of Turo or car rental space in general. Choosing your operational model. A lot of people think that there's only one way to operate in this business. We have to understand that there's multiple entry points to start a business. There's not just one door. We can enter through the back, we can get dropped down in that mug, we can dig a hole, come from the bottom. There's multiple ways. So what are the different ways to be able to tap in to start operating this business? One way is the owner. You can start this business as a owner operator, meaning you acquire a vehicle for yourself, whether you finance or cash the car, and then you start renting it out to people who are willing to pay for it. That's one. Another option is to get in this business and this industry market with a JV deal, joint venture, right? A lot of people, when they hear how dope this car rental space is, naturally we're gonna tell ourselves and create excuses for why we can't do it. I don't have the cash. I don't have the credit. I don't have a car. I don't have the experience. I've heard the horror stories. I don't know nothing about insurance. All those reasons are justifiable. However, there's answers for every one of them. And if you go to trusted resources, we can understand how to prevent those situations, bad situations from happening, and knowing how to maneuver. One way is joint venture, right? Joint venture is you partnering up with somebody who has the experience if you don't have the experience. Joint venture is you partnering up with somebody who has the cash if you don't have the cash. Joint venture is you partnering up with somebody who has the credit if you don't have the credit. You'll be surprised how many people are walking the streets in your inner circles with 700 credit scores who are able to get a vehicle at a car lot tomorrow, today even. And then you help them with that process of getting a vehicle. You teach them the game, you teach them the sauce, you teach them the opportunity and say, yo, you got a nice credit score, let's leverage your credit to get a vehicle so we can partner up and cash flow, make some cash flow. So we can partner up and hire our kids to work with us. So we can partner up so we can learn new skills and traits. All those intentions we talked about, we can tap back into them. Right? You can have multiple intentions of why you do something, but let's make sure we understand what our personal intentions are and prioritize them and understand that we can partner up. Partnerships win championships. The focus is on the word ship. Ships take us places. Another reason, another area of operating in this business is a broker. There's brokers, is aka the middleman. We don't always have to be the plug. We can be the extension cord. As a broker, our job is to connect somebody who wants a vehicle with somebody who has a vehicle. There's so many people who make millions of dollars just being the middleman. I believe it's the best model ever because it's scalable. All you're doing is pointing fingers, pointing people in the right direction, and receiving love from both sides for taking care of them, right? But it does require certain skills. It does require relationship management skills. It does require communication skills. It does require care of responsibility of two parties, making sure that they come together, they're compatible, and they work. That's a model that you might be able to consider. Again, you don't have to get a car for yourself. Again, you don't have to do it by yourself. You can also broker. Next, co-sharing. Some individuals on this call right now, on this opportunity right now, who are tapping in, understand that they have a vehicle right now in their driveway. You have a business in your driveway right at this very moment, right? But you say, well, I don't want to get another car. But here's the thing. You can share the car that you currently have. Of course, that will require you to not have a personal attachment, But like we said on the interview, Shadi actually brought this up. I didn't even think about this. Like I said in the interview, you can rent out your car when you're not, when you're at work, right? Troy mentioned this as well. When you're not at work, say you have an 8-hour shift, right? That 8-hour shift, you're at work, and guess what your car is doing? Chilling, right? When you rent these cars out, it doesn't have to be an all day full-time business. It can be according to your schedule, your situation, your circumstance, your scenario. You can say, yo, I only want to rent out my cars on Fridays. I only want to rent out my cars on Saturdays from the hours of 6 to 10. You have the decision, you have the control. And that's the co-sharing model. You're sharing your vehicle with others when you're on vacation, while you're at work, on weekends, holidays, you're running the play with no delay. Next reason, another opportunity as an operational model is an employer model. Employer model is you getting a vehicle specifically to allow an individual to make money utilizing the vehicle. I have a cousin who does rideshare, or I have a cousin who does Uber Eats, food delivery. He lost his car and doesn't have a car. And if he doesn't have a car, can he make his income through that gig economy? No. You can be the one to present the opportunity and say, hey, I'll get the car for you and I'll rent it out to you for $200, $250, $300 a week, whatever fair price, what price makes sense. And you can be the one facilitating that. They now have a vehicle that they can earn income from. And you have a vehicle that you're also earning income from, cash flowing from. And that business model is amazing because if they don't use your vehicle, they can't make money. So those big, those opportunities usually become long-term opportunities for everybody to eat and everybody to win. So those are the five operational models to consider. There's multiple, but just realize there's not just one entry point. There's different ways, there's different positions, there's different roles to play as a playmaker in this industry. All right. So as a partnership, you need to identify whether you're the visionary, the investor, or the integrator, right? Some people listen to this opportunity right now and say, yo, I really want to get in this industry, but I just don't have the time to manage these cars, right? You're the visionary, you have the ideas, you understand it, you believe in it, but you don't have the time. That means we need to partner up with somebody who can integrate your ideas. Visionaries usually should have an integrator with them. And of course, resources. You need some type of investor to fund the resources, whether it's money, whether it's the vehicle, whatever investment that's necessary. Those are usually three type of roles when it comes to partnerships, especially in the car rental industry. All right, so that's that aspect. Next, exit strategy. Most people start a business with no idea how they can transition out or exit it, right? This is a basic business principle. Right? There's different ways to exit. You can merge your business with somebody else. You can sell it to a friend. You can just liquidate it. You can make it. There's so many different options, but I think it's very important for you to understand how you want to exit in the beginning. What's your exit strategy? Some individuals build businesses just to sell it. Some people build businesses just to prove that this business is successful, create a case study, sell it, and make money teaching the case study, right? There's so many plays that you can run with this when it comes to exit strategy. A lot of people ask, yo, what do I do with my cars after I run it up to 90,000 miles? After I run it up to 200,000 miles, what do I do with the cars? You need an exit strategy on what to do with these cars so you can be able to cycle out, cycle in, cycle out, cycle in. So we can get into those details at a later time. But understanding that you need an exit strategy is super important. And the main thing for this 30-minute call that we have is mainly framework. We can't get surgical with the information today at this very moment, but we can have an understanding of the mindset. We can have an understanding of the framework. We can understand the skeleton. And as time goes on, we can add the skin and bones to, we can add the skin to the bones, all right? Different rental opportunities. This is very, very important. Nobody's really talking about this, right? When you think about rentals, you think about two categories typically. You think about luxury cars and economy cars, but that's not it. There's supercars, there's exotics, there's luxury, there's sport, there's economy. Sport, you can choose to say, yo, I only want to rent Mustangs out. And Challengers and Chargers and Corvettes and Camaro, because that's my lane. You can say, yo, I'm just dealing with luxury cars or entry level cars. There's, of course, there's levels to this. You can say, I'm just doing exotic. You can say, here's the next thing I'm gonna show you, because I'm gonna show you on the slide. You can say, I wanna do minivans. There's a market, a huge market, to make just as much income as the exotic rental car company renting out minivans. There's commercial cars. You think about the box trucks. The regular trucks. People need to haul things. People need to store things. People need to take transfer and transport things, right? That's, you can get in the commercial space and rent box trucks out to individuals. And there's platforms for it. We don't just talk about Turo. We talk about all the platforms. Get Around, Hire Car, Outdoorsy, Fetch Truck. There's so many platforms. And again, we also, as a community, we don't just rely on other marketplaces. We also run our businesses and create our own marketplaces. We go out there and hustle. We go out there and market on social media. We don't go out there and run ads. We go out past our business cards so people know that we're here. All right. Motorhomes, big play. Nobody's thinking about the motorhomes. And there's actually a specific platform for motorhomes. It's called Outdoorsy. Underutilized. It's one of those platforms that a lot of people who are on it, they're killing the game and they're hoping that nobody else finds out about it. Right. But we're here to share the game. We don't hoard the game. We share it. Next, off-roading bikes. There's a lot of individuals who have ATVs, but a lot of times you're not riding those ATVs every day. Right. You have the opportunity to be able to rent those out as well. Another one of my favorites, classic cars. Those classic cars are amazing for video productions, amazing for movies. They're amazing for commercials. They're amazing for photo shoots. You can get these classic cars for very low rates, right? $5,000, $10,000, clean it up, put some money on it, and make your money back cash flow for a car that's not even driving, that's not even moving. All you're doing is taking care of the maintenance and the look. Think about it. You're not having to deal with mileage. You're not having to deal with selling the car because of mileage and it's no longer operating. You can make money for a way longer term. Think about it. A classic car was made almost 60, 50 years ago. Imagine cash flowing on one asset for 50 years plus. That's the situation that we're on. We got RVs. Everybody knows they play. That's that. Next, business opportunities. Nobody talks about this. You don't have to be limited to long-term rentals or short-term rentals. You can run the play what makes sense for you, your circumstance, your situation, scenario. You can do hourly rentals, you can do daily rentals, you can do weekly rentals, you can do monthly rentals, you can do yearly rentals. They all have their pros and cons, but you have to identify what makes sense for you and your business model. Some people say, yo, I only want to do hourly rentals. Then that means we have to have an asset that makes sense for hourly rentals. Would it make sense to have a Hyundai Sonata for hourly rentals? Maybe not, because typically people who need Hyundai Sonatas need to run errands. They need it for the day. They need it for the week. The hourly rentals are slingshots, supercars, Lambos that they just need to go to the wedding, a video shoot. They just need to pull up on a business meeting, right? Those plays make sense. Weekly rentals, again, economy cars make really good sense for that. Monthly, you can run the monthly play. I do what we call specialty leasing. Sometimes I don't want to feel like renting my cars out on a day-to-day basis. That requires day-to-day work. So if I have a car that I am willing to say, yo, I want this car out for 3 months with one person, I can do a specialty lease with them. I can say, yo, let's do a contract. You have the car for 3 months, 6 months, a year, and we'll figure out the pricing. And typically the pricing is going to be more than your car note. If my car note is $900, I might do a specialty lease for $1,800, maybe even $3,000. Depending on what makes sense for that customer and what makes sense for you. All right, so those are that. Now, here is the very important thing to consider. Why do people even choose to rent cars when they can just buy it? I have somebody right now renting a vehicle out that costs $700 a month. They're paying $3,000. In our head, why does it make sense to pay $3,000 for a vehicle when they can just simply purchase the car themselves? But the thing is, can everybody purchase a car? No, there's sometimes they have limitations. Their lack of desire to actually have a car. They might be struggling with credit issues. They might only be traveling to a specific city. Like actors and actresses, when they travel to Atlanta from LA, they're here for 3 months. The production company, Netflix, Tyler Perry Studios, will pay for their travel. It's not even coming out of their pocket, right? So they have a $5,000 budget. That money can go to Enterprise or can it go to you? You make the decision. So those are the things that we need to consider, right? And that's the list. Next, rental types. I'm not sure how much time you have, but rental types. Some people rent out cars for travel, cruising, running errands, lodging, hauling, photo shoots, movies, parades, car reviews, my Teslas. When my Tesla came out, I got it before many people had it. My Corvette C8, I had it before 90% of people who have it today. I was able to market my car as a vehicle that can be used for car reviews, a vehicle that can be used for test driving. Because think about test driving, how does that feel? When you typically test drive at a dealership, you're in the car for 15 minutes, the salesman is in your ear all day, you really ain't getting a feel of the car, the navigation, you don't really get a real feel. And then you purchase the car and have what? Buyer's remorse. So instead of having buyer's remorse, let's get a chance to get the car at an affordable rate for a week and really test drive the car. That's an opportunity. Racing, you can actually rent out the cars for individuals just for the purpose of racing. Get on the legal track. You can use my car for a certain rate, take care of the oil, take care of the rims, take care of the tires. You're good to go, right? So many reasons. Meeting pull-ups, birthdays, to stunt, test drive, all these different reasons you need to understand why. Or somebody use your vehicle. Then there's commercial uses. You can use your vehicle for food delivery, Uber, Lyft. You can have your vehicles wrapped. I charge businesses $300 per month to wrap their vehicle, their business on our vehicle. You see the EYL truck. These vehicles are what? Moving billboards. We'll be fools not to squeeze all the juice out of the lemon by making sure that our branding, our businesses, isn't on a vehicle that's being seen by thousands of people per day, per month, per week. Let's make sure we squeeze all the juice out of the lemon. We see it in real life. And there's a couple of resources on how to do that. Some people might say, yo, I don't know any businesses. Well, there's companies that pair you up with businesses. Middlemen, brokers, Rapify, Carvertize, Free Car Media, or you can just go out there and hustle and get you your own businesses. So there's different types of renters, celebrities, travelers, businesses, conferences, people who need to go to conferences, and even scammers. We need to identify the scammers out here trying to get your car too, right? Create your business. Oh, we're going to end on this. How much time we got?
No, we good. We good.
Okay, okay, good. This is very important. Everybody always asks me, yo, Maddie, how do I know which car to pick? How do I know to finance or lease? How do I know? These are all good questions. However, I'm personally never gonna answer a personal question unless you fill out this business plan. Nobody talks about this, nobody. So this business plan answers questions that you need to know before you make any decisions moving forward in the car rental space. The first question is this: do you plan on getting in this industry with an existing car, or do you plan on acquiring a new car, whether it's getting the keys to somebody else's or purchasing, financing a car? That's the very first question. So say you have a car in your driveway that's not being utilized properly. You can now say and answer this question: I want to use my existing vehicle. Next question: how many cars do you want to start off with? You'll tap into the podcast and see Maddie J got 33 cars in 1 week and say, yo, I need 33 cars in 1 week. That might not be the play for you. So you need to identify what makes sense for you based on your capacity to manage. Your capacity to manage not just the cars, but the people involved, the clients, your team, the parking lot. Those are things to consider. I don't like when individuals just jump into a business and end up taking the L's that I took when it's not necessary. But the thing starts with asking the right questions. I typically recommend people start with one vehicle, understand the feel, get a hang of it, and then say, yo, now I want to scale up to 2, 3, 4, 5, and beyond. All right, financial goals. This is a huge question. Before you can figure out what car you want to get, whether it's luxury, economy, supercar, classic, van, commercial, we need to ask ourselves this question: what's our financial goal? Especially if your intention was to cash flow and generate income. But how much income? When I typically ask individuals, how much money do you want to make in your business? Guess what answer I typically hear? $1 million. Where did this number come from, right? Of course, we hear this number so many times to the point where that's the number that we regurgitate when somebody asks us a question. But do you really need $1 million? A lot of times when people get $1 million, they don't know what to do with it, and guess what happens? They spend it so frivolously that it actually puts them in a worse situation than before, right? You end up being in debt. You end up being around the wrong people. But now we're not doing that anymore. We're gonna have intentions with every dollar that comes in. We're gonna have a mission for every dollar soldier that comes in, even the car rental space. So here's an example of an answer to the question, what's your financial goal in the car rental space? This answer is, I plan to earn an extra $700. This person wants to just make $700, but why? Why do you want to make an extra $700? Well, I want to pay $200 to my car note. I want to pay my cell phone bill. I want to pay my groceries, and I want to build my emergency fund. That's a solid financial plan with this specific asset. Very solid. So that means that I now need to find a car that can be able to facilitate my financial goal and my so I can be able to hit my financial mission. Without this financial goal, you can choose any car you want. But with this financial goal, you're gonna get targeted to the car that's actually gonna fulfill your mission, fulfill your goals. Very important. So it goes back to the question, Maddie, what car should I get? Well, that depends on your financial goal. That depends on how many cars you want to have. Depends on if you have a car existing already in your driveway. We want to answer these questions first. Next question. Do you plan on leveraging your personal credit or cash? Do you plan on leveraging your business credit or business cash? Do you plan on leveraging somebody else's cash or somebody else's business credit? We need to answer that question first, right? Some people have the option to do all four, but the question is, which one are you actually going to choose? What are the pros, cons, benefits, depending on your situation, your circumstance, your scenario? Nobody else can answer that for you. All we can do is ask you the right questions so you can find the right answers. Next question, do you want to operate this business hands in, all hands in, on deck? Or do you want to be hands off? Do you want to run this business part-time or full-time? Those are questions that you have to ask. Here's an example of that. The answer to that question would be, I plan to manage the operation of this business part-time for 3 to 4 hours. That's a solid plan. They only want to be in this business and managing this business for 3 to 4 hours as a side hustle, which would then help us answer the next question. Do you plan on doing short-term rentals or long-term rentals? In this case, because they already said that they only want to dedicate 3 to 4 hours, what do you think is going to be the best play? Depending on the car, they can do short-term rentals or they can do long-term rentals if they don't want to have too much time on it, utilizing their space. All right, so that's the fifth question. Next question. What type of renters do you want to deal with? And as a business owner, we actually have the choice to choose who we want to do business with. But if you don't choose your ideal customer, if you don't choose your dream client, guess what happens? You start getting all these random people who raise their hand for your services. And because you don't match relationship-wise, because we're having a relationship with these people, you don't match relationship-wise, just like any relationship, what happens? It becomes toxic. But who ends up taking the L? Is it the client or the business owner? It's always the business owner, because what they even say the customer is always right. No matter what happens, the customer doesn't have the responsibility. The responsibility is always on the business. So now we can actually choose who our audience is going to be, who our target client is going to be. And you know what answer most people say when I ask who's your target audience? Most people say everybody. Even though everybody can utilize your service, you don't want everybody using our service for a couple of reasons. One, it costs more money to market to them. It costs more money to communicate to them because now you got to speak a bunch of different languages because marketing is just a matter of speaking somebody's language and relate to them. So if I choose to speak to one person, speak their language, invest in that person because I know how they feel, I know what type of music they like, I know how they like to engage, it's going to increase the love, the likability, the knowledge between us two to the point where they go out marketing for us. Imagine having an army of individuals who do the marketing for us versus us trying to spend all our resources to get more people. That's why that's important. Rental usages. Now, we need to understand how we want people to use our vehicles. Do you want to focus only on movies and productions? I know individuals in the car rental space, they say, yo, I only want casting agents to touch my cars, right? Less risk, higher, but of course, there's different ways to be able to tap in. You might be like, well, I don't know any movie directors or casting agents or production teams. That's because you never sought out to look for them. And there's different strategies to do so. Right? For every excuse, I promise you, every justification, I promise you, it's an opportunity to be able to fix it, right? Type of cars. You need to identify what type of car you want. So example of these three questions, I plan to rent to guests who are in town traveling. I plan to rent to travelers who need to get from point A to point B. I plan to finance a 2019 Toyota Camry economy car. This vehicle matches all the answers that you gave from all the previous questions. You don't want to get a vehicle that does not align with any of your goals, any of the questions that you've answered. And that's where a lot of people mess up. They say, I want to make $50,000 a month and then get cars that don't have the capacity to do so. Or they say, I don't want to have this business take over my whole life, but don't get the cars that have the capacity to do so. We want to make sure everything matches up according to these questions. That's why this is very important. I highly recommend anybody to not start operate in a business without answering these questions properly. Next question, rental location. Where do I want to operate this business? Do I want to operate locally? Do I want to have my car managed in the city? Do I want a car managed in a whole other state? There's ways to do it. Some people say, yo, I'm not in the market for car rentals. I'm in Idaho and nobody really ain't renting out Lambos like that. That doesn't mean you can't get a Lambo. what you do is, again, JV deal with somebody who's already renting Lambos in a different city that's hot. You ship the car out there, do a JV deal, 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, and run the play. There's ways to be able to run the place with no delays. Next question, what's going to be your exit strategy? After you identify the location, what's your exit strategy? So here's an example of an exit strategy. After 1 year of being in this business, I will reevaluate my plan, evaluate my current opportunities, and either sell or scale the business. I'm going to use my existing car or acquire a new car. And I plan to use my car, but get another used car for rent, right? So those are different examples of an exit strategy. But here's the thing. This is a framework, and the answers are based on your personal preference. Again, I highly recommend nobody to move forward and operate this business without answering these plans. Let's go ahead and move on. Car rental mindset. Please, we encourage everybody before they even do any action to study the game. Again, before we can earn, we have to learn, because you're going to end up doing what I did. I got my Maserati off the lot. I'm ready to put it on Turo. I'm driving the car off the lot. Guess what? The car starts to shake. Why? Because I didn't have the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, and the experience to check the rotors before I purchased the car. And guess how much it cost to fix it? $2,600 plus. Now I'm already negative $2,600 because I didn't do my due diligence from learning from other people's experiences. We're not in the age of ignorance anymore. We're in the age of information. Communities like the Earners have been able to congregate the elites of elites. Oh, it's crazy. The best of the best. Not only are they the best of the best of the elite, these individuals are willing to share the sauce. And if they weren't willing to share the sauce, there's now a spirit to do so. Because if you're not going to share the sauce, you're not going to be successful no more. That's the new standard, right? And by God's grace, that's the standard. And now we're all have the opportunity to not use ignorance as an excuse. So the first step is study the game, have the mindset to always learn, not be arrogant to say, I know it all. Next mindset is to team up. Team up, partner, whether it's with detail shops, mechanics, body shops, insurance adjusters. You have to have dope relationship skills so we can turn these contacts into contracts and be able to make plays, again, with no delays. Super important. Next mindset hack, having no personal attachment to these vehicles. I know a lot of individuals, when they start, it sounds all honky-dory, but when they give the keys to their vehicle, I'm like, ah. They start checking the app, the traffic device app, every 5 seconds. When they return the car, they get pissed off that the mats were dirty. Think about it. What's going to happen when somebody runs their car? The mats are going to be dirty. Think about every time you drove a car or run a car. Think about everything that you did, that we did to run the cars. What do you think is going to happen? So we need to make sure we set our expectations high and have no personal attachment and realize that this is a business. If you realize that you do have personal attachment, that's cool. Just know the consequences that might happen because of that. Next mindset hack is to never, ever, ever rent out a car without insurance. These assets must be protected. And once we get to Q&A, we're gonna go into those details of insurance, because I know that's a hot topic. How do we protect these cars? We'll make sure that we have that asset protection. Another mindset hack, outcome over income. A lot of times you'll make stupid decisions because you're trying to get the money grabbed. You'll say, oh, you don't need the insurance this time, no worries, because you just want the money grab. No, we want to always remember that there's going to be an outcome, and we want to make sure the outcome surpasses the mindset of trying to get the income. Also, whatever mindset hack is being a problem solver. In the nature of business, the nature of business is that you're volunteering to solve a problem, and you're asking to be fairly compensated for solving that problem. So you have to be a professional problem solver. So when problems happen, we shouldn't be stressed out. We should thank God for the opportunity to be able to solve the issue and generate income to be compensated for it, right? That's how that works. So that's the mindset that we're going to be having in this space and in any business, period. And we have a long list of different mindset characteristics, but the key piece is going to the details, and we're going to go ahead and transition off to, we can do the Q&A.
Okay. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Excellent presentation. Yes, Matty J.
C to the EO, man.
Yeah. A ain't gonna lie, I love hearing that, man. That's dope, man.
With,
it just
the, sounds... with the shade on at nighttime.
Hey, Shotty, his brim didn't even move that whole time. I mean,
you don't know, there's a hack to that. There's a hack to that. They put me on game. They got me a little filler right in there. They stay right there, my boy.
It is nighttime, and we are inside, and we're in the basement. That's a very rare, very rare triple.
That's the play.
Triple run the play in any condition.
Run the play. Run the play.
Consistency is key.
You too. Make sure you hit the like button. There's 1,300 people watching this on YouTube right now. Free information, top of the line, and this is just half. We're about to go into Q&A, so please hit the like button. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Shout out to on the $500 super chat.
That's what it do, my guy.
That's elite. That's elite level. So let's get into some Q&A.
Yeah, a lot
of Troy.
Yeah, I got you over here, man. A lot of people got their hands raised. My man Sam B, we coming to you first. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. It's been a minute, Sam. What's going on, my guy?
Oh, welcome to the stage.
Okay. What's going on?
Hey, Sam, you know the countdown's on, my brother. It's 2 weeks away.
I know. I'm ready for another great year.
God bless you, my brother. God bless you.
Appreciate y'all. So real quick, I seen it said something, a bullet point, asset protection. Mm-hmm. But I'm worried about protecting myself. Mm. So I was gonna ask you.
Yeah, I heard somebody say that. That's the bar. The urge is coming through. High level questions.
Yeah, so you know, I'm thinking like worst case scenario, like if the car gets in an accident, or you know what I'm saying, somebody wants to place me liable. Like, is there any type of documentation that you keep on the side with you?
Yeah, of course. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not any of that, but I do have protection for my business. Of course, there's corporate veils, there's structures to make sure that you're not liable for incidents, you're not liable for accidents, you're not liable for anything once you put it in contract and in paper, and making sure your insurance policy is what we call ironclad. I remember when I was purchasing a slingshot from an individual on Craigslist. I pulled up to his mansion, Caucasian dude, right? We're writing up the contract. He said, wait, my lawyer's gonna come. I'm like, dang, your lawyer's gonna pull up on us right now? I said, yeah, he's gonna pull up. 30 minutes, lawyer was there, fine-tuning contract. I'm like, why are they paying so much detail to this contract? I'm so used to just looking at the headlines and then signing. But that contract has everything is in there necessary for what? Our protection. And like you said, not just the protection for the vehicle itself, but all the individuals and the parties involved. Obviously, there's different ways to do so, but that's just a general statement when it comes to making sure that we have protection on all ends.
Another thing that everybody should have is an umbrella policy. An umbrella policy is relatively cheap. You'd be surprised. And it covers pretty much everything under one umbrella. So like your home insurance, your car insurance.
What about life? The
life is not included in the umbrella, but like pretty much all the property and casualty insurances. So that's good as well. And like I said, you can get like $1 million umbrella policy for like $500 a year, something like that. It's very cheap. So I think we actually had a class on EYL University about that. If not, we definitely could have one. But it's good to have that, especially when you know have a lot of different things that you need to insure.
That's hard.
That's a big fact. Sam, appreciate you, my guy.
High level question.
Yeah. Let's go to Adrian. Adrian, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you perfectly. What's going on with you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, man. I'm going to keep it quick. I got a car that's on Toro right now. And a question I have for you, man, is could you give me, you know, like three examples of what's the best ways to expand your fleet? So I already have a car that's in my personal name, but I have a business and I have business credit, right? So I'm looking to expand and get a couple more cars on my business credit. But could you give me maybe three examples that you know that are proven to expand your fleet on Toro?
Yeah, definitely. So the best way I can build is I always also recommend people do what we call experience shares. You don't give advice, but you just share your personal experience, or you just let them know that even though I didn't do it, this is what I heard people do. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So my experience on how I went from one car to three cars and went from three cars to 33 cars and now having 57 plus cars was simple. I first made the decision that I wanted to do it and why I wanted to do it. I looked at the data, very important. If I can't know the numbers, I can't grow the numbers. So I looked at the data and made sure that I was hitting my financial goals, that these cars weren't making a lot of money on the front end, but on the back end, I was really taking an L. So after I realized that the money made sense, it was cash flowing, it's profitable, I then said, how can I run this as a full-on business? Because a lot of individuals on Turo, it's just a side hustle. They're using their personal car. They don't really have no LLC. They're really not putting the money in the bank, in their business bank account, which is cool in the beginning. But if I want to expand, I need to run this like a business. By God's grace, I have a lot of business experience. So I use my business experience to set up my business properly. Got my LLC, have my lawyers draft up contracts. I make sure that my insurance turned from personal to full commercial. I understand the process of doing private rentals. I then, of course, went to dealerships and now ran the play. In the beginning, one thing I did do that I wish I did do was get the 33 cars in my personal name. Mm. I went in the dealerships. I understood that I have a dope credit report, and then I can get three cars here, go to the dealership, get another three cars, go to another dealership and get another couple cars. But I didn't realize that I had $1.6 million under vehicle debt under my personal name. So by God's grace, I was able to set up a business, my business that was already 2 years, cash flowing, good numbers, and then getting a business loan to be able to purchase these vehicles, get this title, and get them off my name. Right? So my debt to income ratio was regular. It wasn't $1.6 million in vehicle debt. So that's what I did. I got these vehicles. I understood that I had the capacity. We call it GWC. Shout out to Gino Wickman in the book called Traction. GWC stands for, do I get it? Do I want it? And do I have the capacity to run it? So I understood what I was getting into. I wanted to do it, and I had the capacity to do so. I had the resources to do so, I had the knowledge to do so, and I was able to do so with confidence. I got the protection, I knew how to get multiple cars, I knew how to get under my business name, I knew how to get a commercial policy, and I knew how to have the right team, the right resources to actually manage the business. That was my situation, circumstance.
Got it, man. I appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate you, Adrian. Hey, one of the things that kind of got glossed over there is, as you're scaling it, C to the EO, is that you actually have to find a place to store these cars, man. Can you talk to the people about that process? Because it's like, yeah, I got one, I got three, I got 10. Where am I putting these things?
Right. That's a good question, because that's the question that is naturally going to get brought up. So there's so many ways to strategies to be able to implement this. Again, you can do JV deals. There's individuals who already have car lots that are either renting out cars or selling out cars. And of course, in this business, location is important, right? Where you locate these cars is important. So you can partner up with individuals who have parking spaces. Or in my situation, by God's grace, I was able to lease a building right next to Enterprise, right next to Hertz, right in front of Budget, and right in front of Peachy Airport, where there's a building available where I can run my operation at. And you know how I got that building? Relationships. My boy Jacoby said, yo, Matt, I know you need space. Here's a place that I'm looking at, and it looks like it'll be good, better fit for you. So it wasn't a matter of skills. It wasn't a matter of knowledge. Again, it's always back to relationships. When you have dope relationships, people put you on. And when you put others on, they have the inclination to reciprocate that love and the value. Turo also, in certain cities and certain markets, they actually offer car management, where they'll handle the check-ins, check-outs. I'm not sure how active they are after the COVID situation, but I remember going to LA, picking up a vehicle at a Turo lot where all these different hosts parked their vehicle and Turo actually managed the check-in, check-out process. So many places. You could also do it, partner up with, you can have your cars parked on the public streets, depending on where you are and depending on what your risk tolerance are, there's so many different options. But my option was tapping into a car rental lot that held 50 plus spaces, which required me to get a car rental license, which required me to pay for a lot of things that increased my expenses and my overhead, right? And that was my situation.
Whew. Relationships wins championships. There it is. Jarrell Hardy, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's going on? Oh, damn, Jarrell, don't do it. You're a top earner, too.
Oh, man.
Oh, don't do it, Jarrell.
Already.
Fridge emoji. We All right, let's go. Let's go to Will. William Harris, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's going on?
I'm here.
Oh, Jarrell, you there? All right. Will, we're going to come to you right after this. Jarrell, what's going on? I know you want to let us down. What's going on?
Yeah, what's up? I'm good. All right. Yeah, I had a question. I have a cargo van. Mm-hmm. I used to do a little carrier business for my spare time, but right now I'm not doing it. I was wondering how could I possibly rent the cargo van out, but it's an older van though, but it rides well.
If it's operable and moving, there's two ways that for sure you can turn that liability into asset. One is wrapping that cargo van in a business. Whether it's your business or somebody else's business, you can monetize in that way. Second way is, of course, to rent out to individuals who need to haul cargo. There's been so many times where I need to move furniture or purchase things that didn't fit in my vehicle that I needed a cargo van. And because there wasn't a marketplace to rent it, what did I have to do? Go to a Home Depot, right? Or borrow a friend's truck. But you know how that is, asking for your friend for a vehicle. It's not always the best feeling, right? If there's a marketplace where people know that I can just go to the local homie or a local person in my neighborhood to rent out their cargo van for specific business purposes, like hauling or taking care of errands, I can do so. It's just a matter of identifying where the market is. So what we do is we use Facebook Marketplace. You'll be surprised how many people in your local neighborhood need your vehicle for hauling. So it's just a matter of going on Facebook Marketplace, taking a dope picture of your cargo van and letting them know why they need to use your cargo van with the price. You can say, yo, if you're tired of renting out so-and-so car or you're tired of doing this and that, you can utilize this vehicle for your needs.
Okay, thank you. All right. I'll see y'all this weekend.
I appreciate you, Jarrell.
Well, again, hold, let me ask you a question. I'm surprised nobody asked this yet. Insurance, that's something that I've been seeing a lot.
Right.
What's the deal with that?
Yeah, so for protection, insurance. So if you're on the tour, again, we teach that you should use multiple platforms. Turo is not the only platform for renting out cars. You can rent out cars privately. So let's start talking about insurance with Turo. So Turo, you can consider Turo as really an insurance company. They make most of their profit from the insurance plans that they're making with their partnership with Liberty Mutual, right? So typically what happens is when you sign up for Turo, you have three option plans. You can choose the option for 90-10, which is usually for commercial, meaning you're using your own insurance, your own commercial insurance, which was the policy I was on. I believe there's the 80-20, the 65, there's three, four plans that you can choose from. And depending on what plan you choose, there's a certain deductible that you have to pay, and there's a certain protection level that you get. So the 60-40, so for every $100 you get, you have to give your partner, I call Turo your partner. Some people just treat Turo like it's just some website. If you're doing business on Turo, that's your business partner. They're providing services that you need to be able to operate your business like a business partner. So they're getting 40%, right? So me, when I was on Turo heavy, most of my cars on Turo, now I ran out privately, I was on the 60-40 plan. Why? Because I wanted full coverage. Because I had so many cars, which means I had more possibility and probability that my cars would get damaged. Right. So instead of me having to pay a $2,500 or $250 or $750 deductible for every damage, I opted in to the 60-40 plan. So when an insurance claim happens, typically when somebody's driving your vehicle, right, they hit a parked car. There's damage now. They turn the car in. There's damage. You have before and after pictures. Now is your opportunity to put a damage claim. Turo gives you an option to deal with the claim directly with the guest first to see if they're able to take responsibility and handle the payment directly to you. If the guest is not communicative or they're not willing to be rational or reasonable to the situation, Turo, your business partner, is now going to be the middleman of the situation and take responsibility for it. And they take responsibility for it by, of course, underwriting the situation, getting the information from the mechanic on what damages there are, and depending on how quick your responses are, the information that they need, they'll be able to pay you out in any as quick as anywhere from a week. And the longest I waited was 3 months, right? For any damages that happen, from fender benders, scratches, rim rash, smoking in the car, to a full totaled out vehicle. I've had a Maserati completely totaled out on Maserati on Turo. So what they do is they find the market value of the vehicle. So the market value for this Maserati that I paid $32,000 for, 3 years later, is $26,000, right? So they'll pay me $26,000, and if I'm financing, they'll pay whatever I owe the Capital One or whatever bank that finance, they'll pay them and they'll pay me the difference, right? So just recently, I just had $11,000 deposited in my bank account because that was the equity that was left in the Maserati. Actually made money off that total vehicle because it held its value because of the market right now, right? If somebody was to get that same Maserati today, it's $26,000. 32 minus 26 minus the payments that I've made for the last two and a half years, I made 11,000. All right, so that's how it works on Turo. Depending on what plan you are, they will protect the vehicle and sort of a certain amount of money. I think about $1 million, $100,000, $1 million, depending on who gets harmed and what other vehicles get damaged. Right now, it's different for private rentals. We teach how to be able to generate income renting your car out privately with the proper rental agreement and the proper insurance. And typically, we use the individual's insurance. So I don't use my own insurance for claims. Whoever's renting out my Lamborghini, they have to provide full coverage insurance, comprehensive collision liability to make sure that they can drive that vehicle. And my team confirms with their insurance agent that they are able to drive this car at full coverage before they leave the lot. And that's always confirmed. And if anything happens, we're not stressed out because we know the insurance is gonna be taking care of the damages. And all we do is just do our proper due diligence to make sure that we report the damage claim, we send a demand letter, we send the estimate of damages, we send the before and after picture, we send the rental agreement, we send everything we need to make sure this process is smooth so we can be able to acquire a new vehicle and keep the ball rolling. So there's so many aspects to insurance. If you ask a very specific question about insurance, we'll be able to tap into that as well.
Yeah.
That was a lot. Will, we coming to you. What's going on? You've been unmuted. What's your question, Will?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you perfect. What's going on?
Real quick. First, congratulations on all your success. Mr. CEO, I've been approved for a car. I want to get started. Sir. But I don't have time. So I'm a full-time real estate broker. I don't have time. So I want to know you personally, do you know anyone that wants to JV? And I'm here in Atlanta, so I would love to connect with you. And EYL, how are you picking your people to go to Egypt? Because I would love to go.
Egypt, anybody can go, bro. That link is on our Instagram page. I can mention it here too before we leave, but first come, first serve. We got 20 spots. We're going to Egypt. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. I saw the post. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
You know what? So anybody can go to Egypt, bro. The information's on the site.
We're going to Africa. That's right. I want to claim Africa. Oh, yeah. Africa.
That's the motherland. You know that.
Okay. Next stop.
Yeah. So I guess Maddie.
JV deals. So again, especially real estate agents, man. You guys already have your lane. Your time is already organized, and you don't want to add more time liabilities, right? So that's when you JV deal with people who are willing to do it. So your best bet to find individuals who you can JV with is to talk and communicate with the individuals who are already renting their cars on Turo. Figure out a way to get their contact information, make a Facebook post, jump into Facebook and type in Turo. There's a Turo community for every market in the nation. And they're all Turo hosts. They're all Uber drivers. That's the beautiful thing about groups on Facebook. What we're doing as playmakers, we're finding our customers or the people that we're looking for where their playground is. Where the playground of Turo hosts, they're kicking in on Facebook groups where they're talking about Turo. They're watching certain YouTube videos. They're in certain Turo teaching course communities, right? And there's ways to get access to them. It's just a matter of first knowing where they're at, knowing what messaging to be able to put out, and then connecting with them. So I would suggest getting on Facebook, type in Turo/Atlanta, join the group and make a post saying, hey, I'm looking for anybody who's willing to JV and manage these vehicles. Here's the information. You want to be as much informational, informative as possible, so that can be a quick sale for somebody to say, yo, I'm actually looking for another car to rent and I don't have the credit or the cash to get a new car. Let's partner up and let's do a 60-40, 80-20, 70-30, depending on what you want to do.
Hey, Will, we got some people in the chat right now saying that they in Atlanta and trying to link, Will. So
the playground.
That's what I said. That's what this community is about, my brother. So definitely tap in.
I was going to say, put it on the Instagram, Facebook group on EYL University's Facebook group. Thousands of people on there. Yeah. And Atlanta is a huge, huge market for us. So I'm sure that there's a lot of people in Atlanta that might want to connect. And yeah, YouTube, almost 1,500 people on YouTube. Please hit the like button. Greatly appreciate
it. Sir.
Yeah. Let's go to, let's see who we got. Let's go to Rashawn. We coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. Rashawn, what's up? Damn, Rashawn.
Mike's unmuted. There you go.
There you go. All right, Rashawn's here. What's going on?
Yeah, how you doing?
We good, man. How you?
I'm all right. I'm a black-owned car dealership.
Sir.
Right? So Queens, New York. I've been established for about 8 years. So for the game that I've been in, obviously is buying and selling at a wholesale rate versus, you know, retail. But now that I own at least 30 vehicles, I'm looking to partner up with somebody and do JV deals out here in New York. So the biggest thing for me, honestly, being that the business is new and we have a management company that's stepping in, like you said, to get them involved, they'll clean the car up on a consistent basis. They have a lot where they keep the car safe and customers could pick it up and drop it off. But they're charging me a fee of $100 a month and they're taking 30% of the pie. So, you know, you've been in the business or in the game for quite some time. How does that, you know, benefit you long term? I mean, obviously I have a step up and an advantage because I own the vehicle outright. So I'm not paying a finance charge, which includes interest and a monthly premium as well as insurance. Right. So I'm taking a smaller piece of the pie. So I just want to get some insight on that. And then I had another question. So we can start off with that.
First question, how can you repackage a question if you were to rephrase it?
All right. So
is that the question?
The question is Toro's new in New York. So management companies are now the deals that they're presenting is basically they're taking a 30% cut. They're taking 30% cut, correct? And they're charging me $100 per month fee to manage the vehicle, to keep it clean and, you know, everything that the management company, you know, requires. Of course, I still have to get insurance as well as an umbrella policy just so I'm protected.
Right.
So from your perspective, is that fair? Is that a reasonable percentage to take as a management company or is that like, you know, somewhat inflated?
Right. So questions like that, again, it's a personal situation. What's fair to one person might not be fair to, it all depends on how you value the service and the time and the benefits and the features that they're offering. Because one management company might not offer the level of management as another company, and they might charge the same percentage. It all depends on exactly itemizing what their deliverables are, and then comparing how you value each deliverable, and then also comparing their rate to the market. There's so many ways to just justify or identify what do you think is a fair price, but it's usually subjective and it's usually a personal opinion. Again, pricing can be dependent on value, customer service, speed, market rate. It can be based off of the list of services. So many different variables. So it'll be very, I would say irresponsible for me to say, yeah, that's a good percentage. I don't know the services.
No, I'm saying from what you're currently paying now, like management company.
Okay, yeah, I pay management fee. I have my own rental lot.
Okay. But I mean, when you first started off, you didn't have any type of management.
Everything was always in-house. By God's grace, I had members of church who I trusted, liked, core values on the same page that I was able to hire at a rate from $10 an hour to $20 an hour to help manage the company.
Okay, great. And okay, that sounds good. So then I obviously have to do the due diligence on the management company and see,
I have frameworks that will help you make a decision, a well-informed decision on if this makes sense or not. And those frameworks, I have like a Trello board on how to identify whether something is fair for you when it comes to pricing and percentages.
Okay. Okay. And final question is, how can I create a marketplace for these individuals that we're empowering to now start their own business? Like, you know, I'm getting vehicles through the auction in Mannheim, Odessa at a wholesale rate versus a retail where you're going to pay markup along with dealer fees and stuff like that upon the purchase. So what I want to do is create a marketplace where we can get these vehicles at a lower rate and we can get these individuals that, you know, that want to start their business, you know, any vehicle that they want.
Right. It's just a matter of placing the market. You're just marketing the services, letting them know, like, look, you don't have to get these cars at dealerships where they're putting their markup rates. You can get them at wholesale prices and you presenting and say, yo, you can rock with me on being able to get these vehicles. It's just a matter of presenting yourself and making yourself, letting people be aware that this service exists. I certainly talk about it. So the question is, now that they are aware of it, now where do they go or who do they go to help facilitate it? That's just marketing on your end.
Okay, got it. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you, Rashawn.
Appreciate you. Let's reset the room for a minute. Do remember, InvestFest.
Oh, yes.
The biggest by far. The biggest by far the biggest. This weekend in Atlanta, Georgia, Friday night, we have Neo. We have Jagged Edge.
I'm like, damn, you know what I'm saying?
J.E. Bro, no way, please.
No. Just quickly. Neo, Jagged Edge. And Les Brown. We will be interviewing Les Brown on Friday, VIP night.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday, we have Till Harper. We have Brian Leslie. We have Wall Street Trapper. We have, a bunch of people. Too many people. Sunday, just added, we have the Toro and Airbnb panel with Maddie J, with Zoe, with... Sir.
Mitch,
Pushman Mitch, Alexa. And Alexia.
Yeah.
That's going to be a legendary situation.
I can't wait for that.
We also have Inky Johnson on Saturday. Just added him. We have Max Maxwell. We have DJ Envy. We have Fabulous. We'll be performing on Sunday. Oh, man.
There's this guy from Harlem who might be in attendance. Who definitely be in attendance.
Henry,
Ronnie Brown,
Ronnie Brown, the mortgage guy, the master investor, Ian Dunlap. It will be.
What about our compadres from Yonkers, New York?
Yes.
Don't forget that.
South P. Jim Jones.
Don't forget them.
Jada Gibbs, what's up?
19 Keys.
Everything's top secret, Matty J.
So we could keep going, but InvestFest, go to investfest.com, get your tickets, 2 days left. We want to see everybody there. It will be a very, very enjoyable event, and we will be handing out 8,000 masks. We will be fully responsible and practicing all COVID guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, and we have a vendor marketplace as well with 200 small business vendors that have tables set up.
Nice.
It's gonna be an experience. Let's take a couple more questions.
Before
we hit the wrap button, Troy, if we can.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's going on, my guy?
I'm good. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, we hear you perfectly.
Cool. So I had a question about Turo in the Midwest, specifically Detroit and maybe like the Cleveland area. I'm based out of Toledo, but I've been looking at getting into Turo. And I guess the biggest concern that I have is, the weather. So being in the Midwest, we're going to have like crappy weather for 3 to maybe 4 months out the year. And I don't know if you know anyone with experience in that or what's your take?
That's a good question. So one of my statements is if it has wheels, it can make a deal. But obviously weather impacts the capacity and frequency of vehicles getting rented. But here's the thing we have to ask ourselves. Even in snowy weather or weather that might be unfortunate, there's cars still on the road. And there's individuals that still need to get to places. There's things that still need to be, cars that still need to be driven, and there's individuals. whether we realize it or not, they're going to need vehicles even in storms and rainy weather and mud, sleet or snow. There's people who need vehicles. Obviously, it's not going to be as a bigger market than a sunny place where the weather is just always perfect, but it still warrants an opportunity for certain vehicles that operate well to make sure that you can still be able to generate income with these vehicles. Obviously, I'm not going to try to rent out a Corvette. Right? So you just have to also be considerate. And the best way to be considerate of what cars you get is to make sure you know who your audience is and have compassion to want to serve them. So understanding their needs, understanding their desires, what's going to help them will help you make the informed decision on what vehicles to what put in the marketplace. I don't live in Detroit, which means I don't know the needs and desires of the people who need to be served in Detroit or Cleveland or Chicago or anywhere in the Midwest. You would best know that. Or, and if you don't know that, what I would do is partner up or consult with or pay somebody who's very, who's in that car rental space in that city, in that state, and ask for their mentorship or solicit their services to help you make the best decision.
Mm, I like that.
There you have it.
Yeah, that, you know what, Matty J, I'm thinking of it now. It's like, people really got to do the data analytics of the demographic of where they're at. You know what I'm saying? So to know, like, hey, do I need trucks? Are convertibles going to work in this environment? How many people are taking cabs and how many people are taking Ubers? It's like a whole process. So you really got to really get into the data analytics behind this, man. This is really in depth, man.
That's not to help anybody, but it does help to get surgical. And you don't have to be the surgical one because everybody has different personality types and you just like the smooth process. But partner up with somebody who is the analytical one who can provide that data for you to help you with those decisions. For example, even in the courses that we have, everything is detailed on how to do market research, on how to identify and make the proper decisions so you can run the play long term.
Yeah, because I'm imagining people are saying now, like, how do I find my target audience? Well, these are some of the things that you should be thinking if you're looking. Like, you want to make sure that the customer is going to be obviously 1,000% satisfied with the service. So these are the things that you need to do. It's kind of the same thing like we always say, like even investing, man, do your research, make sure you do the analytics because that will determine how successful you're going to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's get a few more questions.
Yeah, let's go to Zatrick. Zatrick, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's going on?
There you go.
That's the first I've ever met. Zatrick. Shout out to Zatrick.
Appreciate it. It's a combination of my parents' name. They're from Sierra Leone. But I didn't really come here for a question. I actually came to say thank you because I had saw you on $1 million worth of game.
Oh, amen.
And went and talked to my OG. And then he went and got on Turo and he actually bought two cars. And I'm working on building my credit right now so I can actually get a car. Right. But I'm from Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
Yeah, but I'm at school right now. I'm actually in Missouri, but I am flying in for a Vest Fest on Friday, so I will be there this weekend. And the cool thing, I'm coming with my business partner too. But yeah, I really just wanted to say thank you to all of you guys, like, because what y'all doing, it makes dreams possible for like the things that I want to do. I've seen you guys do it, and that's like the motivation that I need. So it's really a thank you for everything that y'all doing.
Oh, exactly. That's real. That's love, man. You know how we play it, man. In order to see it, in order to be it, we got to see it first. So I salute everybody that's
the bar. Playing their part.
EYL University.
With dreams, the biggest.
Anything can happen.
Assembling all the Avengers.
Shout out to Made Up with the Game, Wallow and Gilly.
Yes, sir. Those
are my guys right there, man. yes. It's not, but information is something that, you know, we take for granted because we're in the space, but it's liberating people.
Amen. You know what I'm saying? The word liberation, oh my God, that's such a strong word.
It's liberating people, man. It's information, it's everything, man. So whether it's Airbnb, whether it's Toro, whether it's stocks, whether it's crypto, whether it's real estate, whatever it is, you know, just to be able to provide for your family and create a new stream of income based off of information that you learn is something that is really priceless. So,
yeah.
Appreciate everybody that has come on the platform to provide information and appreciate everybody that has taken the time to actually implement the information.
That's a fact, man. Information on us, execution on you. Maddie, I wrote that bar, man. In order to get passive, we got to be active first. I love that. That's a bar. That's a bar. Let's go to Michelle. Michelle, we coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's going on?
Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing?
We are blessed. How are you?
You are.
Blessed as well. Blessed and highly favored. Yeah. So what I would like to find out is about at what point do you unload your cars to say, okay, I need to sell them because of mileage? And do you also do unlimited mileage rental?
Good question. So again, everything is based on your personal decision. Remember, we're business owners. How you operate your business is going to be different from how somebody else operates the business. Unless it's a franchise, obviously. Subway has to operate it the same way that another Subway does. So what I do is provide frameworks and options that people do. So one option is they say, yo, for example, Hertz, after vehicles hit the $30,000 mark, we go ahead and sell it. But they do that because their business model is different. They get these vehicles at wholesale rates, meaning a car that might retail for $13,000, they might get for $7,000. They'll run up the bag, renting the vehicle up to 30,000 miles and give you because they can afford to give you a limited, and then sell it for the same price that is going for retail. So they profit from selling the car and from renting the car, right? But if that's not your business model, that might not make sense to give unlimited miles, right? So if your business model is you purchase the car at its almost peak price, you might now have to limit the miles, which is the case that are most people on the Turo marketplace. They usually limit to anywhere from 100 miles per day to 300 miles per day, depending on what vehicle you have. If you have an economy car that is supposed to be driven long-term, it might not be reasonable to limit your mileage, your guest mileage, to 100 miles per day, because they're gonna be driving it, right? From one area to another, one area to another. So again, it depends on your business model, the vehicle that you have, your revenue model, and what you ultimately want to do for your circumstance, situation, and scenario. But again, those are the different options that people have done, like Hertz, people with luxury cars, people with economy cars. I personally have mainly luxury cars from entry level, mid-level, and exotic cars. And all my cars, I have a 100-mile limit. And anybody who goes over that limit pays a fee from anywhere from 60 cents per mile to a dollar a mile. And that's well communicated beforehand.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle.
And do remember, Maddie J is a master teacher. And he also has a course where he actually teaches the ins and outs of not just Turo, but the car rental game. And as Nas said on his new album, he said, I invest in education because he wasn't privy. And that was something that really struck on me. Like, I invest in education. Like, that's something that, you know, I invest in education. Mm-hmm. As I said, I brought Wall Street Trappers course. I brought a couple of different courses for family members, sometimes even for myself. So if you're interested in learning even more and going into detail, and like you said, as far as like, you know, videos and slides and different things of that nature, check it out. And we have a discount, $500
yes, sir.
Off,
yes, sir.
Exclusively for Earn Your Leisure. The website is eylrentalgame.com. So I'll pin it. I'll pin the website in the YouTube section. It'll yes, also sir. Be in the description of this video.
Shout out to all the earners who already got tapped in and wrapped in.
No, it's very important.
Very
important. If you're not investing in your education, what are you investing in?
Right. But the main thing is that it's even just the education. It's also the spirit of being around other individuals who are on the same
community. Community. Well, that's the thing about EY University. EY University is over 8,000-9,000 people. And it's one of these things where you always achieve more when you're surrounded by other people. So
yes,
the community aspect of these platforms are
key. Amen.
Yeah, man. The craziest part is that people have been looking for it. Right. There's so many times you have conversations like I was looking for somebody who was thinking like this. So I'm glad that y'all created something. So shout out to all the earners. Shout out to everybody that's been tapped in, man. And like again, executing on the information, which is the most important thing. We don't want to just hoard it. We don't want to be hoarders of information. We actually want to put it into play. So shout out to y'all.
Troy, can you put the link in the Zoom? Also, I just texted to you. I put it in YouTube.
I got you right now.
That is definitely, like I said, it's $500 off if you use that link, only for that link. So tap in or tap out.
Ooh.
Choice is yours.
Uh oh. Hey, you've been sitting next to Maddie a little too long. Hey, yo, Maddie, it's starting like the sauce is like transferable now. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Activation. All right, let's get like one more question, Troy, if we can.
Yeah, let's go to let's see who we got over here. Let's go to Keith. We coming to you. Unmute yourself. You've been unmuted. What's going on, Keith?
Peace.
I got the royal beard.
Okay. That's a king's beard. Yo, that's a king's beard. I'm about to go shave. What?
Yo, too bad we got to wear masks, bro. You see that Invest Fest, I have flourished.
The beard is flourishing. Love it.
Yes, sir. So I had a question in regards to analyzing the market. As far as I'm trying to choose what car right I want to get right now, I live in Georgia near Atlanta, but I'm not in Atlanta. So I was trying to try to get outside the outskirts of Atlanta. So I was trying to see what's the best way to analyze the market in general.
Yeah, again, I utilize Facebook Marketplace a lot because it allowed us to have a playground and connect with individuals who are nearby you, like 30 miles, 55 miles, 10 miles. During the pandemic, I was able to sell $2 million worth of gym equipment using Facebook Marketplace, right? I didn't have to go out and do Facebook ads. All I did was utilize a platform that brought me together with people, my neighbors, basically. So that's what I'll do. So I like I mentioned in the podcast, I have a house that's an hour away from Atlanta, if you know Loganville, right?
Yeah.
So what I'll do is realize that people in Loganville, there's not a Hertz out there. There's no Enterprise out there. So they have to drive all the way to a city to rent a car in a city that they need to actually use the car in. So if they get in an accident, where do they have to get the cars from? The city. Why would they have to get the city when they have Keith in their same exact city who they are probably 10 houses down the block from and they can rent from you directly? It's just a matter of knowing, again, where the playmakers' playgrounds are. That's how I run those plays when it comes to markets that aren't the airport or the cities that aren't the Los Angeles, Miami, Houston, and Vegas.
So we say use a Facebook Marketplace. There's an actual section in there you go to, or you just...
Yeah, when you list any type of item for sale or even offer, you can list items, you can list services, you can do a lot on Facebook Marketplace, and you can pinpoint who and what area you want to target. So when I was selling the gym equipment, I was targeting anybody who lived in a 30-mile radius, and I found the groups that they're doing garage sales, and I'll post them there. Hey guys, I got gym equipment available. Everybody will blow up my DM, my private messages. It's just a matter of allowing the people around you to be aware of your services. And that's just, again, utilizing tools in marketplaces like Facebook, Craigslist, even OfferUp is a dope tool that I used to use all the time. And then of course, as you build your clientele, word of mouth starts to kick in.
Okay, because I utilize all those platforms you mentioned. I guess it's a matter of just using them and just practicing using them and how to implement them.
Surprise, man. As soon as people actually tap into it, a lot of people don't actually execute this specific method at all. I don't know why, but I guarantee you, as soon as you list it on Facebook Marketplace, you're going to get inquiries within 24 hours.
Bet.
The people who actually did it, they let me know. They did a screenshot. Bro, I just listed it. I'm already got 7 messages for somebody who wants to rent out my car for a week, $250 a week.
Nice. Okay. I appreciate that.
Well, definitely.
Keith, appreciate you, my guy.
No problem, man. Peace.
Sir. Appreciate it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Can I shout out my team?
Yes.
My team, my family, my wife. I want to shout out everybody who helps this education. You see the smile on my face? Imagine if I was stressed. I would not be wanting to share this information. But the reason why I'm not stressed, but I'm blessed, it's because my team and of course God Elohim for putting me on. And again, of course, this EYL platform for taking the time for us to have a platform and an outlet to share this information. Appreciate you guys all.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Maddie definitely came with the full team.
Yes, sir.
More people than us.
Squad up.
yes. Ah, ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure. EYL University, once again, this is something that we do every single week at EYL University, where we have experts in the field, best in class, and they come and they give presentations and they answer questions. And then we have monthly financial planning calls. We have bi-weekly real estate calls, also including EY University, is MG the Mortgage Guys blueprint, which goes over everything you need to know as far as how to buy real estate, the best practices in commercial lending and all of that kind of stuff. Troy does the movie club, book club. We have a Facebook group and we have an affinity group that I'm extremely proud of. So the best way to actually learn is from each other. So even more so than us having relationships with other people, there are rising stars. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Alistair from the Crypto Club. Shout out to everybody. But there are rising stars inside of EY University, and we foster that. So Janet, mm-hmm. who is our, I don't even want to call her.
She's our everything.
Yeah, she's everything for us. And she started as somebody that was inside of EY University. That's just adding so much value to EY University. And it's like she was working at Fidelity. Mm. And she had a nice job, nice paying job at Fidelity. And we paid her more than Fidelity was paying her.
Dang. Because they gave up. Yeah, know the value. Yeah.
they didn't see the true worth.
We had to pay her more and provided her with a 401k, health insurance, all that. Mm. You know, so Black woman. So it's extremely important to have that community, as you said, and that's something that we built with EYL University. So if you're interested, go to EYLUniversity.com and check us out. And once again, don't forget InvestFest, extremely important. It will be something that will be documented in time and will be a living document for the times that we're in right now. It will be archived and it will be a capsule. Just like Woodstock. Very, very similar. When you watch the documentary on 2021, InvestFest.
Yes, it's top part of that timeline for sure.
Don't miss this opportunity to be a part of history.
I can't wait, man.
That's a fact. Troy.
Yo, man, again, I just want to thank everybody for their thoughts and prayers. Obviously was dealing with a medical situation, but I'm back and I'm happy to be back and I'm happy to be with my brothers, man. And shout out to the whole team. Shout out to Mike and Jamal and Rich and Bam and again, obviously Janet and my family and everybody that had well wishes, and InvestFest, man, monumentous is the word. And so we are looking forward to it, to seeing everybody. And we're looking forward to creating history together. Is bigger than us. And that's why, you know, you don't really see our name on it. It's really about the people that are coming to share knowledge, to share information, and potentially create business partners in a long-term and short-term. So we're looking forward to it. It's been a crazy 75 days, but the time has come. So I hope y'all ready.
Yeah, and Troy definitely is back in the flesh. As the great philosopher Cameron Gowles once said, you be all right, man. You be all right, man.
Yeah.
People get shot every day, man. You be all right.
You be all right, man.
Yes.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. Hey, Jay, we appreciate you. I'm gonna give you your proper outro, and we might have to do a mic drop on it. That is C to the EO, Maddie. Oh, yeah. My dog.
Don't forget EYL. rentalgame.com, Maddie J's course, $500 off that link, special link if you're interested in taking it to the next level. We will see you guys at InvestFest on Friday, and this will also be on podcast outlets on Friday as well. So tap in, do something with the information, take care of yourselves, and yeah, we'll see you soon.
Yeah, man, we might need to rent a car from one of y'all one day, so make sure y'all get it up and going. That's all right, love is love, y'all. Peace.
All right.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.